All right, it's time to get started tonight. Good to see you. Pretty Wednesday night. The days are getting longer and the daylight is hanging around longer. So maybe some of the folks that had trouble driving at night can start coming on in the night services because the days are longer. So hopefully they'll come to that conclusion and get here. We're glad you're here tonight. Let's all stand together, get a hymn book. Brother Tim will come and lead us in a song.
All right, number 341, favorite around here, Victory in Jesus. Number 341, everybody take a hymn book and let's sing together tonight. All right, sing out now. I heard an old, old story, how the lady came.
Lord, let me have revival. Let me feel it in my soul. All right? Sing it with me. Lord, let me have revival. Come on. Let me feel it in my soul. Lord, let me have revival. As you did in days of old. Lord, let me have revival. Let the hallelujahs roll. Lord, let me have revival. Let me feel it in my soul. We're going to sing it again. How many of you don't know that? I see some of you are trying to read my lips when I'm singing, so I guess I should have done like follow the bouncing ball. It's a simple chorus. Lord, let me have revival. Let me feel it in my soul. Lord, let me have revival as you did in days of old. Lord, let me have revival. Let the hallelujahs roll. Lord, let me have revival. Let me feel it in my soul. All right? So let's sing that again. Now that you got the words, let's sing it out loud and sing it together. All right, here we go. Lord, let me have revival. Good, that's better. In my soul. Lord, let me have revival. As you did in days of old. Lord, let me have revival. Let the hallelujah. that's what we need. We need revival around here, don't we? We sure do. All of us, not just the ones that seemingly really need it, but those of us that really need it. You know, I'm here all the time, but I need revival, I'm telling you. We had good prayer time Tuesday night over at the Shaws. I appreciate the folks that came. We didn't have a whole lot, but we did have, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 9, I think. But we had good prayer time. I'm telling you, we got to hear some testimony from some of our young people. What a blessing that was, and to pray. And, man, we made a list of our unsaved loved ones, everybody there. We're really praying for a burden for lost people. Now, that's how you build a church, is with lost people. Some saved, and they'll be good church members. Amen. And so that's what we're doing. And so Friday night, we're going to meet at the Starlings. Let me just mention quickly before we pray that the van will be available if you'd like to ride over there. They live over in Lexington on Highway 1. If you'd rather just come here and we'd leave from here just ride in the van together, you know, glad to do that. More glad to do that. We'd have to leave about 6:15 or so because of the traffic. Getting over there by 7 o'clock, we don't want to walk in there right at 7. And so if you'd like to ride with me or ride in the van, let me know. Please let me know tonight. Let me know before Friday, because that way, we don't have anybody, then we'll just have Steve send out an email that says no riders, so no van. That one, then you'll have to put out the best way you can. But we really would like you to go, especially the seniors, if you cannot drive or that sort of thing, then if you can get here, then we'll be glad to carry you over there where you can join in the prayer time for the revival meeting. And once again, we made up a list of unsaved folks, everybody in the room Tuesday night named a lost person that they really want to focus on praying for to get saved. Now, we all know lost people, got several. Everybody's got, and I told them about in the New Testament where Jesus, where the woman whose daughter had the demons in her, and she went to the Lord, and the Lord sort of rebuked her because she was a Gentile. And then he said, my daughter, kept saying, my daughter. It wasn't about her. It wasn't about her name. It wasn't about her social standing. It was about her daughter. And the fact that she continued to say, Lord, my daughter, he responded and, of course, cast out the demons. And so that was really sort of the theme of that. And so everybody has a lost person. So Ed Shaw had one of his uncle, Walter. And so I said, well, Edwin, you need to make that my uncle. My uncle. I've got my other brother. Now that one's saved, got to get the other one in. So that's my brother. You see what I mean? It'd be an uncle, an aunt, a brother, sister, whoever. And you may have more than one, but really focusing on one. And it doesn't mean that the other ones are not important. I don't mean to say that. But we need to have the time to focus on a burden for someone. We need to ask the Lord to give us a burden, not just I'll pray occasionally. I mean, every single day. I wrote down, went home today and typed out all the names for everybody, because I'm going to keep that list with me. It's in my Bible right now. I'm always going to have it with me, and I'm going to lay it out on the pulpit when I preach. Wherever I go, when I'm in New York, I'm going to have that list with me. I'll be praying and laying that list before the Lord that those people get saved. And that's really what it's all about, I'm telling you. So you think of someone, maybe you, between now and Friday, if you come to the meeting, we'd love to know who that person is, so we can add them to the list and start praying for my whoever. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. Father, it's a joy to be back in the house of the Lord today. Lord, to be able to worship God, to worship the Lord Jesus who loved us and who saved us. Lord, we wouldn't be here without salvation. If it wasn't for the love of God, we'd be out in the world. We'd be out in sin. We'd be out doing whatever it is we do. Instead, Lord, we've taken time, as the Bible says we should. Lord, this is a commandment not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sadly, there's so much out there now for people, Christians, to fall into and to get involved in until it becomes a better opportunity to find a reason not to come than it does to come. I'm glad you put in my heart to come to church, Lord, and not because I'm paid to do it. I went to church before I was preaching. I went to church before I was pastor or getting paid. I worked a public job. I went to church because I loved it. I didn't want to miss anything. I didn't want something to happen. Somebody tell me about it, and I said, man, I wish I'd have been there. So I do my best to be there as often as I can. I appreciate the faithfulness of these folks here tonight who are here, and they're faithful, God, and I appreciate that so very much. Now, we pray for those that are sick. We pray for those that are unable to be here for reasons that they could not help. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch this list of names, people that need to be saved. And Lord, tonight I want to mention my brother Ken, Lord, he needs to be saved. God, and I pray that, and Lord, it would be, what a joy it would be, because they are so much closer closer than I am to him. My youngest brother, who just got saved, we've always been close. And it would be wonderful if my newly saved younger brother would win my middle brother to Jesus. Lord, it can happen. I'm telling you, all it takes is one getting a burden. So Lord, I pray that everybody here during this prayer time and even at the end of the service, Lord, we intend to get around the altar to pray before we go home. I hope they'll really call that person's name out. Lord, break our hearts. My lost loved one. So God, we thank you again for this time together. We ask you to bless the service, Bible, of course, bless the Bible message, the special music, everything that's done for the glory of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
It's Thursday night. Tomorrow night is the Ladies Jubilee Planning Meeting here at the church at 6:30. All you ladies, come and have a good time in prayer in preparation for the Jubilee coming up in early June. That's tomorrow night, 6:30. Pastor mentioned the cottage prayer meeting at the Starlings House, 7 o'clock on Friday night. I meet here at 6:15. You can want to ride the van, as the pastor said. And Sunday, we'll start our revival. Sunday school at 9:30, so make sure you're here for that. If you don't feel like coming to Sunday school, then I don't know if that's probably evidence you don't feel much like revival, maybe. So think about that. Father-in-law in me coming. No, I'm just kidding. So be here for Sunday school at 9:30. Then, of course, the revival next week. Regular times on Sunday, 10 o'clock and 5:30, and 7 o'clock Monday through Wednesday. Make an effort to be here every service. Bring somebody with you. Pray for the Lord, with the Lord within your heart.
I handle the light work.
He's my bouncer. All right, a couple things I need to mention real quickly, just to remind us, because I think things happening with the holidays and everything, Easter and all, you might have forgotten. But remember, we as a church pledged money to WTBI. Now, some people did it personally for days or whatever. We did that as well for one of the days, but then we also pledged money. I think it was it $1,000? $1,000 at the end of the charathon to help them get over their goal. And so remember, we asked 10 people, in fact, was it 1,000 or 1,200? It was 1,200. And we asked 10 people to pledge then until now or in this period, $120. Now, I know we've had maybe one or two that have paid three altogether. So that means there are seven more that pledged. You know who you are. We didn't write them down. So you know who you are. I know I'm one of them. So we need to, I guess, catch up on ours a little bit, I guess. Is that right, Miss Judy? I remember. Anyway, so we asked 10 people to give $120. I believe that's right. We can go back and check it. But anyway, in any event, those of us that pledged that said we would join in that, we need to get that money in, because I think, like I said, we've only had three so far. We've got like $59 in the fund that would go to them, so we need to get that done. So, you know, and you have all this year to do it, so it's not like you have to do it all at once. Literally, you know, if you could just do $10 or $15 a month for the rest of the year, it would be taken care of. So please remember to do that and mark it on your envelope, WTBI, if that's what you're giving for, so that we'll be sure that gets to that, okay? Just want to kind of remind you that. Also on the table is a birthday card. Sister Shirley Hughes's birthday is Saturday. They're having a soiree up in Greenville and invited folks to come. Brother Steve's going. I got an invitation or was invited, but we're just not going to be able to go. But he's going. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to sign this card. It's right down there. See it right there? Just come by and sign it. Just a little note if you want to write something in there. Make sure it's not too big that it takes up the whole page, you know, so everybody can have a chance. But sign that card if you would. And we're going to put in a little gift, a love gift for Miss Shirley. She is still battling cancer, and she's getting worse. And so it's very possible that she may not make another birthday. Of course, the Lord can do miracles. They didn't intend her to live as long as she has already. And so, and she's a fighter, I'm telling you. Sister Shirley's a fighter. And so anyway, if you'll come by, and I'd ask you to give anything, just come by and write a little note. I know that you're praying for her. And for Sister Shirley Hughes, it's right here. So don't leave unless you sign it, all right? If any young people sign it, again, don't write a whole big thing and make it kind of small, as small as you can where you can see it, so that everybody can get something on there, okay? Please do that before you leave tonight. The financial statements are on the table in the vestibule. If you want to get one for March, they're available. And then I told you about the van for Friday night, so that's covered all that, okay? Now, what we're going to do tonight at the end of the service, I'm going to finish up what I started last Wednesday, so I've only got the three major things I wanted to speak about last week. And so we're going to get try to get done still by 8 o'clock, but maybe a few minutes before that. But I would like us to get around the altar. We used to do this. Remember, we called it family altar time. And we used to do that every Wednesday night. I think we're going to start doing that again. I don't think there's a thing wrong with all of us getting, you know, some of you have never been to the altar, maybe very rarely. And so we're just going to get around this altar at the end of the service on Wednesday nights. And pray for revival, pray for the church, pray for each other, pray for me, pray for your lost loved one, you know, as I said. And there, none of us have too little to pray for. We can all pray for a lot of things. And I really believe if we'll do that together, I believe God will honor that as a corporate prayer for the church and as a church family. Amen? And so we're going to do that starting tonight. So I'll do my best to get finished about 10 minutes early so we can get around the altar so that we can pray. I don't want to put a time limit on the prayer time for sure. You know, when you're talking to God, you just want to talk to Him. You don't want to say, well, okay, Lord, I got 30 seconds. Listen fast, all right? Anyway, we're going to do that at the end of the service, all right? Okay, brother.
All right, number 322 says, stand up for Jesus. So everybody sing a hymnal. Let's sing 322. Time of fellowship.
Your seat will have the ushers to come on. We'll take up the Wednesday night offering. By the way, good to see Brother Reggie here with us tonight. Reggie, I appreciate you being here. I called him this afternoon and he was working, but he was gracious to let me speak to him a minute. Told him about Wednesday night service. Said, yeah, I'd like to come. So I'm glad you're here, buddy. Good to see you tonight. God bless you. Is your mom still here or she left out yesterday, didn't she? And she got back okay? Good. We were glad to be able to meet his mother on Sunday. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now and ask his blessing on the offering. Ask the Lord to bless it. You give as the Lord has blessed. Okay. Father, once again, we ask you to bless the offering, the gift and the giver, as we give, Lord, and you know that it takes money to operate, whether it's tithe or offering for missions, for special funds, or special projects, or just operation of the church. Lord, that's part of it. You commanded us to give not only our tenth as a tithe, but also our offerings, Lord, and being able to give a little extra. And we thank you, Lord, for the way folks give extra to our missions program and to other things. And so, Father, I pray that you'll bless the gift and the giver now and bless the remainder of the service. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we had a men's trio sing Sunday night. Tonight we have a young men's trio, I think, going to sing for us. I guess we call these mini-me's. I don't know about you, but this excites me. You see these young people willing to serve like this. So, guys, sing for us.
Someday morning when this life is o'er,
for that. Well, if your Bible's ready, listen and I'll follow on.
All right. Good job, trio. That was good. I like that. Yes, indeed. Dante of the Dantettes. He's looking like, I told you I was the leader. No. Wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see our young people getting involved like that. I so appreciate that. Matthew chapter 5 tonight. Matthew chapter 5. I have just about 22 or 23 minutes, so I'm going to try to get through this so that we can get around the altar and pray tonight. Matthew chapter 5, we're still dealing with the Sermon on the Mount. We started last Wednesday night with verse 41 of Matthew chapter 5. We read 38 through 41. I'll read them again quickly. And verse 41 is the text for the message tonight. Bible said you've heard, that's page 1001 of a Scofield Bible. And it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. The Bible says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That is civil law. That is the first law that God gave to the human race in Genesis chapter 6, after killed Abel. God said that if a man sheds man's blood, then by man should their blood be shed. That is capital punishment. And that is a law that God gave. It's not a Supreme Court issue. It's not a First or Second or Fifth Amendment issue. It's a Bible issue. That's the way God intended it to be. Now, again, thankfully, we're in a position in this country now where because of science and DNA and other things, that sometimes that can be averted. And someone has been convicted and then because of some incontrovertible proof, they're set free or at least commuted. And so I'm glad for that. But that's the law. That's what it says. Notice Jesus said in verse 39, but I say unto you. Now again, he is not canceling the law. He said, now here I'm going to tell you how it is. He's not canceling it. He is enhancing it. He's explaining it. He said, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And so again, it's the idea of patience and not flying off the handle. We talked last week about bitterness and about allowing things to be done to you or you doing things that can cause someone to get bitter. And the root of bitterness springs up into so much trouble, turmoil, and argument, and confusion until bitterness is a root sin, root of bitterness. And so we have to be careful of that. Verse 40 says, if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. In other words, don't fight it. Now you say, now wait a minute, preacher, that's not fair. That doesn't seem fair. Now, I think the idea, and the idea is not to stretch it into some great big legal, rigmarole, but be willing be willing, even if you're not guilty. Even if you're not guilty. That's hard. That's very hard. I've been through this. And I was not guilty. And I got bitter for a while. I did. And I had to fight. I had to get over that. I had to get past that. And thank God, I believe I have, but the point is that, because I was not being sued for any material thing, I didn't have to totally follow the guideline here. I didn't give them anything because they weren't asking for anything. They were just asking, well, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. That we're there know what that's all about. I don't even want to bring that up. But the point is that Jesus said, if you're really going to love me and love people, be willing to go. And the next verse really explains it, doesn't it? What does it say? It says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, what does it say? Go with him, same too. So the idea here is to do more than expected of you. I think that is a character trait that is lacking in people today. You know, we have been conditioned to think this way. It's mine, I want it, and I'm going to get it. And I don't want to work for it. I don't want to sacrifice for it. I want the same things that, you know, my mother and dad, when I was growing up, had a house and two cars and furniture and all that stuff. And I want it now. When we do not understand or recognize the fact that they worked for many years to have those things. And so it's important then that we recognize, we need to teach these young people the importance not only of work, but how to appreciate whatever it is you have. You know, we're conditioned to get. And so when we don't get, we get sideways. We get our nose bent out of shape or something like this. That's not what I asked for. I'm telling you, maybe if we didn't give them anything for a while, maybe they'd learn to appreciate what they got. By the way, wonder how it'd be for you and I as Christians if God thought that way. What if God said, I'm just going to withhold stuff from you until you learn to be grateful? The Bible says in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, not just the third Thursday or fourth Thursday in November, but every day of the week. God has blessed you with breath. You ought to be thankful. If God has blessed your heart to beat one more time, because guess what will happen if it doesn't? You won't be able to say thank you. If God has allowed you to have a job where you can work and feed your family and enjoy some good things and have those things that are not just necessary, but even things that you can in fact enjoy, then we ought to be thankful. Happened again the other day. Yesterday, Judy sent me to get us a little something to eat, and I went and got it. We pulled up to the window, and the girl at the window literally threw the bag at me. I put my hand out, and instead of putting it in my hand, she kind of tossed it. I caught it, and I don't normally do this, but I said, hey, she whirled around and said, sir, I said, is that how you give everybody their food? Oh, I'm sorry. I started to say, get me the manager, but she looked like I was fixing to lower the, and I said, by the way, thank you, drove off. Now, there are other members of my family who would not be that kind. I'm not going to tell you who they are. Ain't but two of them here tonight. So, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. If you mess with them, both of them will show. Amen. So, there you go. But the point is that we have lost the attitude of gratitude. Well, Jesus here is saying to us that we need to recapture that attitude. And one of those attitudes is being willing to do more than is expected of us. So nowadays, it's just do enough to get by. I'm thankful that I had a mother and a father who taught me not only the idea of work. But my dad always told me, son, when I started working public jobs, I was a junior in high school. I was younger than that. I was in the ninth grade. I started working at a bakery. I mean, what a dream job for a 15-year-old teenager. But I didn't work there too long. But when I got what I say is my first real public job in the 11th grade, it was at a Jack in the Box. Now, we didn't have the clown head. We just was a plain old regular restaurant. I remember going home and I was all excited, and my dad told me, he said, now, son, he said, when you get this job, he said, you show up, taught me, go to work. Don't make excuses why not to, because you asked the man for the job and he gave it to you, and he doesn't expect you to call in and say, I can't come. He said, you show up, and you show up early. He said, show up early. He said, and stay till it's done. And here's what he told me. He said, and always look. The reason this rings true in my mind is because every public job, I didn't have that many. I've been in the ministry for a long time, but the ones I did have, every single one, and I can name the jobs and the men who told me, every one of them said to me, son, when you start working here, you're back there in the warehouse or you're out here on the airplane or whatever it is you're doing. He said, don't wait for someone to tell you what to do. Find what to do and do. And every job I had when I hired on, the person who hired me, whether it was a supervisor, whoever, said to me, I mean, I can name them, said to me, we're giving you this job, but, and this was back before you didn't go online and apply and, you know, I didn't know what a resume was. I thought R-E-S-U-M-E meant start up again, resume, amen? And so you had to go and get a job, ask for it, you know. And so the point was, and every one of them said, young man or son, when you're working with us, don't wait for the boss to tell you what to do. If it's something you know should be done, don't wait for anyone else to do it if you want to be anything in this company. And that's the way I've always done. I've always tried to do that. I've always tried to do a little more. Not because I was anybody important, but I'll tell you what it did do. It helped me to get pay raises and better jobs on that job every single night. I'm telling you, it works. We need to teach our young people not to settle for just enough. Jesus said here, and if they go to the extreme of suing you and they want your coat, give them your vest. Now, you talk about shocking somebody. You know, if the judge said, okay, if Judge Judy said you owe $1,200 and the defendant put up his hand and said, I'll just give him $15, you're probably never going to see that. Could you imagine what kind of destruction that would cause for someone to do something like that? That's the attitude. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be done exactly that way. It's the attitude. It's the idea that I will do more than what I'm expected. What does the Bible say about our Lord? The Bible said that He will do exceeding abundantly above. I'm going to tell you right now, if God just did for me the necessary, I'd still have to be thankful. And He does. There are many times when He does more than I expected. And He not only joys in doing that, but He joys in the joy that I have when I recognize and say, Lord, I didn't know you were going to do all that. What? Listen, if you know, nowadays you do a little more for your children than maybe they expect. All it does is make them think, okay, next time I'm going to expect more. Instead of saying, hey, mom, dad, man, I asked for this thing, but man, you gave me the bigger one or the more expensive. Thank you. I mean, we faint. Parents would faint because now just grab it up and go. Jesus said, if someone compels you, and that literally means to force you to walk with them a mile, and I explained the Roman law concerning carrying the burden for that Roman mile, how that the soldiers could force you to stop, to drop whatever it is you, as a Jew, they could force you by law to drop what you were carrying. Carrying your groceries? Drop them. I want you to carry my groceries for 1 mile, for a Roman mile. And so they'd have to do that. Then once they did that, then they'd have to walk back the mile, pick up their stuff or whatever it is they had, and now carry it home. With always the idea that another, listen, it could take you all day to get home. If there were 4 or 5 Roman soldiers around in the neighborhood who just had a vindictive spirit and said, I'm going to make them carry my stuff. I mean, it might take you all day to get home. And that, listen, you talk about frustrating and making somebody get a bitter attitude. That would do it, wouldn't it? And yet Jesus said, if they want you to go one, go two. You want to know how to make somebody not mistreat you? Treat them good when they're doing it. Think about it. Yeah, I'm telling you. Somebody says, I want you to do this. Here's what I want you to do. And I want you to do it. And you say, well, here, let me do a little more. I'll do a little more for you if that's okay. I'd be happy to do more. But then after a while, they're going to begin to think, something about that person. I'm telling you, and if you know, and I don't think we have so many opportunities like that where somebody's forcing us to do something like that. But if it should happen in any form or fashion, Jesus said, if they want you to go one, go two. But let me give you this real quickly because I only got a few minutes, and this is what I want to get to last week, and that is, first of all, if you are willing to go the first mile because you have to, that teaches fulfillment of responsibility. You're doing what you are required to do. But if you go the second mile, that forms a relationship. And that person says, I want you to do this, and you do extra. Like I said, I would, when I worked at, how many of you know what Radiator Special, you know what gunk is? You know the products for all, you know what gunk is? Well, I worked for Radiator Specialty in Indian Trail, North Carolina. It's where they make and can gunk products. And that's what it's called. And so I hired into the warehouse where all the cans are. I'm telling you, millions of those cans everywhere. And it was our job in the warehouse to get those cans on a forklift, those pallets of 1,000 cans each, and take them down. Some of them were 8 levels high, 8 stories up. That's how high they packed them. And so we'd have to drive that. I'm not talking about no big boom lift. I'm talking about a regular forklift. And those cans were, they were loose. You moved them, you'd hear them go, I mean, one wrong move, and man, you talk about a mess. And so we were real nervous when we had to get them cans. We had to get them down, take them into the filler room. They would put them on the conveyor and fill them, you know. That was a very dangerous place because a lot of gas and, under pressure and things like that. And in fact, not about 2 weeks after I quit that job, that place blew up. And so people got killed. That's what we did. Well, I wanted, I appreciated the job. I was young. I needed work. I was glad I got it. I wanted to keep my job. But what I would do is at lunchtime, I'd work through lunch. You wouldn't believe that by looking at me. I made up for it. Back then, I was a lot smaller and didn't require as much. And so somebody would say, the lunch whistle would blow. And man, most of those guys, I mean, they'd have the pallet up in the air on the forklift and the lunch whistle, and they just turn the forklift off and leave that. Now listen, that was not good OSHA wise at all, but they just leave them up in the air until they got done eating lunch. Talk about dangerous. Well, we'd have to fill an order. So I'd work through lunch, and you know what? They'd come back and they'd say, not teacher's pet, the boss's pet. But guess who got the first raise? I did. Guess who got promoted? I did. I got to where I was supervising so that I didn't have to drive that forklift and worry dropping cans. If somebody else did, I got to fuss at them. But listen, and again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not bragging on me. That's a work ethic that my parents taught me. And I'm telling you, it works. It works. It works. It works. Same thing at the airport when I was working there, just loading airplanes. Well, I'd get there early, stay late, work overtime. Now, I wound up being what's called a loadmaster. I was 19 years old making $26 an hour. Now, the problem was I wrecked the first car I ever drove, and my insurance was $3,000 a year. And so all my money was going to so I could drive back and forth to work. Hey, thank God for it. But I'm telling you that I was 19. Most of those guys that were doing that job were in their 50s, and there for years. But I just said, hey, I'm just going to do a little extra, do a little more, show up, I call in sick. Man, that people noticed that. Jesus said that that's the way it ought to be. Now, notice, that really, what does that lend us to? The idea of success. Jesus said, if you go a mile, go two. Want to be a success, do more than is expected of you. Like revival meeting. You know, oh, listen, I'm a faithful church member, so I'll be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We're not coming every night of revival. And you're not going to be a success because you're not going the extra mile. I know it can be sacrificial. Everybody works, school, I know all that. I went through all that. My family went through that. My kids turned out all right. They didn't get 8 hours of sleep every night. They turned out all right. No, and yours will too. Amen. All with me tonight? All right. Well, there's 4 responses. Let me give this quickly. 4 responses to doing a task. Number 1, get someone else to do it. Number 2, do only the minimum and complain the whole time. Number 3, quietly do your duty, but not one iota more. And then the 4th one is do your job and then some, and then some. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Let me give you the 3 things because we got just about 4 minutes and then we got to pray. For one, we need to go the second mile, write this down, in strengthening marriage. You know what's wrong with America today? The nuclear family is destroyed. And it's because marriages are not treated any longer like a holy thing. It's just something you do. And if you don't want to, who cares? Going the extra mile. And I wrote these down, and I know Judy's probably going to write these down too. Second mile, you go the second mile in charm. What do you mean, preacher? Do after you get married what you did before you got married. Y'all remember how we did when we were dating? We had to make the impression. Then we got married, and then it became a deception. Come on now. Amen. Right? No, when we're dating, we open the door, the car. Now we go out there, and the wife is standing there going, you going to open the door or not? I got my hands full, my keys. I got my keys in my hand. And by the way, that may sound like a joke, but that's not a joke. I'm talking about second mile into your marriage by doing what you did before and doing more. Some of the men are going, really? I came tonight for this? Then there's the second mile in communication. Communication in marriage is what blood is to the human body. You got to have communication, folks. You got to talk to one another. Not scream at one another. Talk to one another. Amen. I got to hurry or I'd spend more time here. Second mile in commitment. You know what's wrong today? People, the spouses quit too soon. First time they get mad, I'm out of here. Marriage is work. It takes effort on everybody's part. And quitting, God, I'm telling you this, God will never bless a quitter. Mark it down. God never bless a quitter. And then number four, you go the second mile in love or charity. Because the Bible says about charity, it seeketh not her own. In other words, if you're going to have a successful marriage and go the second mile, put your spouse first. Put your spouse first. Amen? All with me tonight? I hate I have to hurry, but I told you I was going to. Number two, we need to go the second mile in showing mercy. Showing mercy. There's forgiveness, faith, and fellowship. If you want to have those things, you got to be able to show mercy. Forgiveness. I don't like what they said about me. If they come to you and say, forgive me, you better. And if they don't, you still better. Because Jesus said, if you don't get it or give it, I'm not going to give it. He said. Number three, quickly, go the second mile in serving ministry. You know about witnessing? What about work at the church? When we got something going on, show up. Come on. It may be menial. May not be much. May not take long. The more people show up, the less time it'll take, and the more will get done. Amen. But what about the willingness to give? Remember Mary, how she anointed Jesus' feet and what she gave? That alabaster box that cost her a year's salary. She gave it willingly. And then number four, and like I said, I'm just rushing through these because we're already past time. I've got to pray. That is, we ought to go the second mile in spiritual maintenance. Now, this one, I want you to look at Scripture with me, and then I'm done. It's the last point. Turn to Titus chapter 3 with me. Titus chapter 3, page 1284, and then we're going to get around the altar and pray. Titus chapter 3, 1284. Look what it says, first of all, in verse number 8. The Bible said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm or agree to constantly. That means all the time, not just in certain situations, but all the time. Now here's what it says. You affirm these constantly. It said that they which have believed in God. So who's he talking to here? Believers. Us. They that believe in God might be careful to do what? Maintain good works. We ought to be willing to go the second mile in spiritual maintenance. Maintaining good, not just doing enough, but doing all we can to serve the Lord and to serve one another. To maintain good works, look what it says. These things are good and profitable. Not just getting a raise on the job because you're doing the job more than you should, but it'll be profitable to you. God will bless you more and more as you not only keep your good works machine going, but do a little more whenever you can. Amen. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. And let ours, speaking to the believer again, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. How about that? Yeah. You know that telling somebody about Jesus is a necessary use? Because somebody you're talking to needs what you're telling them. That makes it necessary, doesn't it? Necessary uses that they, now really what he's really saying here in context is us maintaining good works towards one another. I'm going to treat Joaquin like I should as a brother in Christ and a fellow believer, because as I maintain my good works and the necessary use of it, the Bible says that they be not unfruitful. If I'm not going to do it, I can't expect him to do it. If I'm not going to do right, I can't get mad at him if he doesn't do right. If I don't live right in front of my children, I can't expect them to live right. If I'm going to disobey and misuse my job and the boss that's over me, hey, then I can't expect them to treat me good. You know what's wrong now? People don't want to work, and so now they're fussing and griping and complaining at the man who hired them. You do understand that if he didn't give you that job, you wouldn't be getting paid, don't you? So why would you scream at somebody who's giving you money for work, and before you were working, you didn't have any? Amen! I know it's 2018, and this is like 1960s, attitudes. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So why go the second mile? Number one, because Jesus did. And here's what I will do more than belong. I'll participate. Look around. We got a lot of church members who are members here. They sure aren't into participation, are they? I'll do more than believe. I will practice. And then I will do more than befriend. I will cultivate friendship. The Bible said a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You got to show it first if you're going to have friends. If you don't talk to somebody in this room, don't get mad if they don't talk to you, right? Amen. That's good preaching. That was fast. Don't expect that very often. We may have to cut, I don't know, we had to do something because I'm telling you, I skipped a lot of stuff. That's all right. I think you get the idea, don't you? Don't just go the mile. Let's go the extra mile. Lord, for Anchor Baptist Church and for men, let's get around the altar and pray. Will you join me? Those of you that can. Now, if you cannot kneel, like myself, I'm having a lot of trouble with my knees. I can't kneel down like I one time could, but I try to. But if you cannot kneel, then please come to the front.